I like the name of the episode. I don't know what episode it is. It's episode 6.
Okay, but it's 6 and 7. Like, kind of. And that's where it always gets...
Well, knowing that I just rewatched the episode today because I could not remember anything from Wednesday, I was like, oh no, like, Laura's been sick. She wasn't rewatching. What if she doesn't know the episode title? So it was You Can't Hide in Survivor / The Devil You Do and Devil You Don't. So, yeah. 2-hour episode, like, double title.
Before we get into it, yeah, to your point, if you've been wondering where we've been, I had to call in medical to put it in Survivor speak. I was medically taken out of the game. We recorded an episode about episode 5, I'm Survivor Rich, did our full recording. It was a good episode. It will probably never see the light of the day because we recorded it on Thursday night. And then that Friday, I fell incredibly ill. I did not have COVID. I believe I had the flu. But basically, like, it was super weird because Friday, Matt and I, like, we went out and we got lunch. And it was a very nice day. We come back. And right around 3 p.m., I'm just like, I need to lay down. And I was just so tired and it didn't make sense. Like, I don't normally get that way in the middle of the day. I had a big presentation at like 4 p.m.
No.
Yeah. And on a Friday. And I was just like, must power through. Like, I needed to be on. And I did the presentation, did a good job. And then immediately it was just like, I'm not well. I very quickly, my temperature was around like 102, 103 from like Friday afternoon to, Sunday night, Monday morning. Like, and it was like the kind of sickness where, like, sometimes like you can power through, but it was like, all I could do was lay in bed and like sweat. And like, I couldn't eat anything. I was very nauseous. I was throwing up. Like, it was no joke. And like, I was so sick. I was not even watching anything in bed while I lay there. You know what I mean? No Real Housewives, no nothing. That is how you know. So I don't know. Like, I was telling myself, I was like, maybe I'll edit this and then I'll edit that. And like, I'll just put them both out. But I don't know that that's going to happen. I have a fun fantasy where, like, when we, like, hit it big and, like, we have somebody to, like, comb through our archives, like, that can be, like, the lost episode that comes out one day.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, it'll get out there at one point, sometime.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe.
We'll see.
But we did want to hop on because I did watch. And so, like, by Monday, I was not well enough to do anything. But by Wednesday night, I could like lay on the couch and watch TV. So
I checked with you because, like, you know, you, me and Brian normally are like rapid fire group chatting like during the episode. So I made sure to text you before and be like, hey, like, should Brian and I like take this, you know, take this offline, if you will. And like, just
I was like, now
you're taking a private chat just because, like, if you're going to be passed out, like, I don't want to bother you. But no, you were there. You participated.
I needed something to keep me going. And then finally, like Friday, Saturday, I was okay. But it was the weirdest thing. And sorry, this is like probably TMI, but like, this has never happened to me before, but I have been assured that it is normal. Sometimes when you get over a virus, I guess like a rash is common. Mm. And like, I had a full body rash where my skin was just red.
Wow.
And so like, also like I was feeling, and I lost 5 pounds in less than a week. Like,
yeah, that's a lot for like a smaller person.
Yeah. And so by the time, even though I was feeling better, my body was still just like so weak from not eating that like, mm-hmm. I couldn't, like, getting up and like walking from like the room to the other room was like a lot. Why do I mention this? I guess I just wanted to give you the full details. Yes,
but now you're on the mend. Did you do anything for Easter today or?
No, we did not. And like my mom was going to have like everybody over. And I was just like, I am begging you, like, please, can I stay home? Like, I'm so, yeah. I just like, I just wanted to do nothing. And it was it's actually like a pretty long day of like doing nothing, but,
No, I mean, it can be an effort sometimes. Like, I went to my aunt's house, and, like, my aunt's house was, like, less than 15 minutes away before when I lived with my parents, and now it's, like, half an hour away, and, like, I just, like, wasn't – I feel like I have, like, a sinus thing or something, and, like, I was, like, not feeling good at all yesterday or today, but then I was, like, oh, I was, like, I don't know, like, I feel like I, like, randomly will not go to events she has. I'm, like, I just need to freaking go. So I went – Well,
you know something weird? And I guess maybe because I just had like a lot of like idle phone time today, but it really felt like people were out there for Easter. Like, Easter just doesn't really rank for me for holidays. Mm-hmm. Like, I could kind of go without and be fine. But it seemed like everywhere I turned on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever, people are like, happy Easter, happy Easter. They're out here. And I'm just like, it's like that. And this is Lucy's first Easter or whatever. And it was pretty cute. Brian sent her a little Easter t-shirt. Thank you, Brian.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a little giraffe with like an Easter basket.
Cute.
So she wore that. But aside from that, like, this is her first Easter. I didn't get her an Easter basket. She doesn't know. Ashley, do you know how many babies I saw with full out Easter baskets?
Yeah. I mean, it's for the photo op. I mean, the baby will like it no matter what, but it's like to have a record or something, but like, it doesn't matter.
I just felt like such a curmudgeon because I was just like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not, she doesn't know. She does not care. Whatever. But we have the photo with the t-shirt. It's fine.
Yeah. No. Oh my God. It does not matter. Like,
but people were out there like that. I just didn't know. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's just like these things like stop me in my tracks. And I'm like, when did we all get together and decide that this was going to be a thing? But I don't know. I need to get back off social media again.
But you know what? It's more for the parent at that point than it is for the actual kid. Because the kid won't know, you know, like Lucy, who's like, what, like 9 months old or something. Like, you know, she won't know what an Easter basket is, and it's more for like the parent,
yeah,
or like the memory.
Well, Max just jumped up on my lap.
Oh my god, he's a
those of you large, at home.
He's a large boy.
He is a large boy, and this is Idle Chatter, a Survivor fan podcast. I'm Laura,
and I'm Ashley.
And we're here to talk about the 2-hour episode that aired last week. Did they do a 2-hour merge episode last season? Do you remember?
No, I do not think they did because I remember it was Erica with the time turner thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with an hourglass. I call time turner like a Harry Potter.
Yeah. No.
It was Erica with the hourglass, and I feel like it was like a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
There was no challenge that episode. I remember being like, I feel like we were like, oh wow, this is so weird. There was no challenge. Like, this is gonna be a kind of breezy episode because there's no challenge to recap, and like it left us on a cliffhanger. So no, right. I feel like it was not like that, which maybe was not well received, and that's why they
One of my favorite things, obviously, if you've been listening to this show at all, you know that I love a product placement, you know, a cheesy reward. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. And Jeff delivered. He delivered some Applebee's. And what I think is so funny was that when Brian was like in our text, when he was like, was the merge reward the do? And I'm like, I think it was. And the fact, why is 42 getting the Applebee's but 41 didn't? Like, I don't know. Maybe, but it's like funny to me.
Maybe it was like a COVID adjacent thing that they couldn't like get the Applebee's like delivered to Fiji.
Yeah, I don't know, but
frozen and then reheated Applebee's.
as, and oh my God, that was actually like pretty hard to watch in my illness because just like food was disgusting to me. And just like those, like, I mean, it would look good to me now, but yeah, I just, when Mike was like, I'm a burger guy. Like,
yeah. It looked it was very intense.
Sorry, I'm being attacked. We'll get to all things Applebee's, and you just
not her. She's not being attacked about her views on Applebee's and food. She's being attacked physically by her cat.
I mean, I feel like I could see myself getting attacked about my views on Applebee's. Have you heard? I don't think there's any reason that a normal person would have heard this, but have you heard like that new like country Applebee's song? Why do I know this? Applebee's on a date night.
Yeah, yeah, it was on TikTok.
I went to an advertising conference for my job, and the guy who wrote that song was like one of the speakers and was talking about like his partnership with Applebee's and whatever. So like, Applebee's is like weirdly top of mind for me this year.
Yeah, well, I feel like that was like. Now, did he just write the song because he was like, oh, like in the country, Applebee's is a great date night, and then it just like happened?
Yeah.
Like, luckily for him, it went pretty viral.
Yeah.
That song.
Well, because his daughter told him he needed to make a TikTok dance.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did watch this episode more recently than I.
Yes.
So if so you I would.
Yeah, I can guide the timeline.
Okay. You want to kick us off, Ashley?
Sure. Okay. So we are on, I'm going to say night 11 after Tribal. So Vati has just gone to Tribal. And that's when Daniel had gotten voted off, which is fine with me. So we're back at the beach. And then Chanel admits that she's the one that wrote Mike's name down. And, you know, she said, oh, I didn't know if you and Daniel had been working on something. And Mike is kind of like, well, I told you you'd be safe. But then they all kind of hug. They're like, Vati 4. And Mike is like, I don't trust her. To us. He's like, yeah, Vati 4, but I don't trust her. Which is fair.
Yeah.
So we then go to Ika, the blue, day 12. And it's funny. It's like Tori asking Roxroy about the journey. You know, like, oh, like, you know, tell me about it. And Rox is very much just like, I didn't risk anything. It's fine. And she's like, yeah, but can you like tell me what it's about? And like, I'm kind of like on her side. Like, why wouldn't he just disclose? If they actually are like going to all work together, why wouldn't he just disclose it? But Drea and Romeo are kind of like listening from the beach, like, oh my God, she never shuts up. Like, she needs to stop. But
real quick, and I don't have any like pre-thought out plans, but just some things that we talked about in our last recording, they may come up to me, and I'll try to explain them. But was it last? And this is the lost recording. Was that when you said that Tori was kind of like your messy queen?
I said it with Brian.
Okay, you said it with Brian. So it's okay. That makes sense. So like that really left an impression. If he can hear me, it's fine. But that like really left an impression with Matt because I guess he had never heard that phrase before. And he was like, we were watching the episode and he was like, what does Ashley call her? And I was like, a messy queen. And he was like, a what? And I'm like, a messy queen. And he was like, he just didn't, you know, it was one of those things.
It might, it's kind of like an overstatement. Like, I feel like it's a little facetious. Like, cause like, mm-hmm. I don't think she's a queen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Like, in that moment on Ika, I was like, I don't really care about anyone else in the way she like, she makes me laugh and stuff with like how she interacts with Roxroy. And like in that moment, like I really did like Swathi in the beginning, but at that point, like I was kind of like, oh man, like Swathi's not really playing a good game. And like, I kind of want to see Tori MacGyver her way out of this situation and not get voted out. So
right.
I was like, she's in her faces. I was like, she's just my messy queen.
Mm-hmm. I get it. All right.
Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, and so like Dre and Romeo also are kind of like, eh, don't really trust her. Oh, and now we get an aside from Jeff. Where, you know, in season 41, we did this same thing. We're going to do it a little different this time. I love the hyped up aside from Jeff. So there's three differences this time. The first is that the food is from Applebee's. Jeff says, that's emotional. That's home. And then up front, they're going to tell them that the player that goes to, you know, exile, whatever, is going to have the power to change the game. And then third, they're going to have the choice to either send one of those two players that are sitting out, or one of them that has won is going to get to give that up, you know, give up food / perceived safety for power. So that's what makes it different this time.
That's home.
That's home. That's emotional. That's home. Oh man, I've been emotional at an Applebee's, but only because I like that was like the one bar in like the town that I was like hanging out with people at one point. Like Applebee's was the bar.
In the Flemington place. Applebee's?
Yes.
I worked
there and some of them lived there. Mm. And I roped Courtney and Whitney in, and like we ended up like hanging out, and like it would be like, oh, are you gonna go to Applebee's karaoke on Thursday night?
Oh my God. I was like pretty into going there with my parents for dinner in high school. Like, you know what I mean?
In high school, I would go there.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever like went there with friends.
We definitely would go and get some appetizers. Like,
I wasn't invited.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well,
it's okay.
Don't worry about it. That Applebee's is closed now, but if you ever, if you want me to come down to South Jersey and take you out to Applebee's, how's the song go?
I should have skipped ahead. Oh. I don't know the dance.
Yeah.
And fun fact, apparently because of the popularity of the song, Applebee's brought the Oreo shake back. The Oreo shake was off the menu and they brought it back because of the song.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey. That's Fancy Like by Walker Hayes.
Fancy Like, yeah. Fancy Like Applebee's on a date night. Okay.
Yeah. We already have a pretty long list of places that we need to go together. One being just like nice restaurants in Philly. Two, Cheesecake Factory. Three, Outback Steakhouse. Yeah. So we'll put Applebee's all the way at the end.
Yeah, Outback Steakhouse definitely, like, survivor-wise, has our hearts.
Yeah.
But we are going to have to make our location this episode Applebee's, Bar and Grill.
It would be rude not to.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
That's home. Mm-hmm. What was the first part of that?
I think he says, that's emotional. That's home.
That's going to be the name of this episode.
So Jeff gives them the deal, and so then they're gonna all draw rocks. So it's gonna be five people on each team and then two that are benched. So the orange team is gonna be Jonathan, Lydia, Tori, Marianne, and Hi. Blue is gonna be Mike, Romeo, Chanel, Drea, and Omar, and then Lindsay and Roxroy draw the gray rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this challenge, like, I don't know if it was the exact merge-ish challenge, but it's what we saw last time, right? It's like a giant ass boulder they need to dig, and then they push it, grab a key, then they go over like some hills, then they climb up and do a puzzle.
We've seen it a lot before.
I feel like we definitely saw it in 41.
This time they called it Rolling Stones, but it previously been called Rock and Roll. It was first seen in Africa as a reward challenge. It's been on Gabon, and season 41 as the reward immunity challenge. I can't verify if it was for the merge, but I believe you if you remember that.
I mean, I definitely remember seeing it last season. That's all I really remembered. So, I mean, obviously, Jonathan, like, does have a little bit of an advantage, like, being a Goliath. But, so they're, like, digging it out, and he's like, But I will say it was intelligent of him to say, let's just try pushing it now. I feel like a lot of people, they're like, oh, let's dig. And he's like, hey, like, maybe I got this. Like, let's just push it. And they very soon push it and are able to get to their first key. Tori hops on up, gets the key. The blue team is struggling like a little more, but they do eventually get it. And then the next thing is kind of like these like mounds of sand. They need to push it over. Jonathan at one point almost like pushes it over himself, which was, you know, impressive. But basically, you know, they get the second key. They all get to hop up there and they're like well on their way to the puzzle. So at that point, like, I feel like Blue is still working on their second key. And they struggle with getting everyone up on the boulder thing to get onto the, like, platform. Like, Drea, like, is struggling at the end to get up because she has no one to push her up. She needs to, like, jump up there and, like, get grabbed by Mike. And then, like, she ends up getting kicked in the face. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's rough.
It was hard to watch, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Lydia and Marianne are working on the puzzle for Orange. Like, they're doing a pretty good job. And then eventually Blue does get up there. They're working on it. I actually did not write down who was working on the puzzle for Blue because it doesn't matter because Orange wins. But
yeah,
at one point, Marianne, like, Jonathan was kind of like, Marianne, why don't you flip over these puzzle pieces? And she was like, we have time. And Jonathan was like, none too pleased about that.
Marianne was like a little bit sassy in this episode. And there was, who said it to her? I want to say it was Hi said something. I'm pretty sure it was this challenge. If it wasn't this one, it was the next one in this episode where, like, he said something like, keep in mind, blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, thanks for that. Got it. And it's like, she does this.
She said that to Jonathan about this.
Okay. That must have been it. And it's just like, it annoyed me a little bit because it's like, I feel like I still love Marianne. Like, don't get me wrong. But these little cracks are starting to show, as for anybody in this situation, where it's like, she wants to come off as like just 100% upbeat, positive person. But it's like, it's these little snarky comments. And I'm just like, I would rather her just be like, Jonathan, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's hard because everyone reacts like their own way. But I know what you mean.
It was that combined with how she talked to, I think it was Lindsay in Tribal, which we'll get to.
Okay. Yeah. So, do you mean her and Drea where they're like, we don't agree?
Yes. Yes. Drea. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so well, basically, like, you know, Lydia and Marianne are working on the puzzle, and the blue team does catch up, and they are also working on it. Like, at one point, I feel like they are putting it together faster, but ultimately, Orange, like, definitely prevails, so they win, and then they have a choice that they get to send someone to exile. It's either going to be Lindsay or Roxroy, and then, or one of them can go.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say the person they're going to send really looks like they need to eat. And I thought they were going to say Roxroy because Lindsay's been living with Jonathan and they ate all those fish. I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago, like 2 episodes ago.
Those colorful ass fish.
Those decent sized quote unquote fish. And it was like a fuck ton of giant ass fish. So I feel like Lindsay's been eating pretty good. And so I think Rox probably thought they were going to pick him. Like, why wouldn't, I don't know, when Ika has not been eating like that. But they pick Lindsay, and then, you know, Rox is going to go to exile, whatever. And then Jeff was like, normally this is when I say I got nothing for you, but you're each going to get a serving of rice. So, hey, more rice than they got previously. So those on the blue team that did not win are going to go back and get a serving of rice.
Correct.
So now we go to our favorite place, the Fiji location of Applebee's.
I love it. What food, can I say?
It did look pretty good to me at the moment. Like, I don't desire to go to an Applebee's, but, like, the wings looked pretty good. The burgers looked pretty good. The drinks looked way too sweet for my liking, but I would drink it. Oh my God, we get this gem from Jonathan.
The French fries looked great.
Yeah. And oh my God, Jonathan was like dunking his burger in whatever dipping sauce. Cause okay, they had options. They had like a regular bacon burger, a like whiskey barbecue bacon burger, or the quesadilla burger, which is like wrapped in a tortilla instead. I probably would have picked the whiskey barbecue bacon burger or the regular bacon burger. Depends on my mood. But Jonathan was like dunking it in whatever sauce. I don't know if it was like a ranch, but I would have done the same thing. But he said something like, I almost went to exile, but I'm twice the size of everyone here and I am so hungry. I couldn't give it up. And he said that like for breakfast, he eats 18 eggs, 9 pieces of cheese and grits.
Okay. That is insane. And this was also really funny to me because I, during my sickness, had gotten an Instacart delivery. And I had ordered like things that only a like sick person would want. It was like Jell-O, chocolate pudding, just like things that these don't sound light on the stomach, but like things that are more of a liquid than a solid, if you know what I mean.
I would have like applesauce or something.
I got applesauce, yeah. But so Instacart mixed up my order and they did not bring me my stuff. They brought me somebody else's stuff. Ooh. And it was so funny because Matt, like, he's yelling to me to the bedroom. He's like, why did you get these things? And I was like, don't worry about it. And but like what he meant was like there was like an order of 18 eggs, an entire cardboard box of yogurt, like things that like spinach. But it was funny, the 18 eggs. I was like, wow, I got like I didn't even order that. But if I did, like the fact that somebody would eat that in a day, that's nuts.
That's that's a lot of like cholesterol. You can have like eggs every day and like that's fine, but like 18 eggs is a lot. I mean, whatever. I'm not gonna food shame him. Like he's clearly very muscular and stuff, and like it's not like impacting him in a way, but I'm like, holy shit, like I can't can you imagine what like 18 eggs look like scrambled? Like how large? don't imagine.
No, I can't. Yeah, that's intense, Jonathan, but it's fair. I don't think anybody would trade places. And then
before that though, actually Hi even says something like they're talking about, they're like, oh, like, yeah, like I wonder what's going to happen with Rockstar. And like Hi even says something like, oh yeah, Jeff was kind of like, are you sure you want to send him? And I'm like, yeah, guys, like, are you sure? But yeah, so like, yeah, they're going to town on our food. And then, Tori, at that point is like, I'm just going to, you know, air the dirty laundry of Ika and kind of tell them like, hey, you're looking for a number. I'm a number. Like, I don't trust them. And like says, you know, Rox was like trying to get me out and all this stuff.
Yeah. She did not hold back even a little bit.
Yeah. Which I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, she has nothing to lose really.
Yeah. And she was like, honestly, like, all he cares about is the fire and the shelter. So I thought he would like to go out there.
And honestly, to be fair, like he had a pretty good time.
Yeah. No, he really did seem to. Yeah. She was like, he's probably loving it. Yeah. Did you have anything else to say about that?
No, I'm good.
So we get back to camp with their rice. And they're kind of just like talking about, oh, like, you know, what, like, oh yeah, like Jeff was kind of like, are you sure you want to say, like, they're all like kind of noticing Jeff's language too. You know, what is that power going to mean? And Drea says, maybe he can switch it that we're the ones with immunity, which ding, ding, ding. That is.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was really good. That was really good.
So then I feel like they were talking about like going to get their clothes or something. And Dre was like, oh yeah, like it is high tide coming up. Like maybe you should go do that. Cause she wants to talk to Mike because, you know, she has an idol and she knows Mike does from them having to utter the secret phrases. So the two of them speak and there's, you know, it's those two and Marianne. Drea says no one knows about her idol. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's implied kind of that no one knows about Mike's, but everyone does. Right.
Yeah.
But they kind of talk about protecting each other and Drea talks about how she doesn't trust Tori. And then Mike, you know, talks about he doesn't trust Chanel. So they're kind of aligning in this way that they're going to look out for each other as those with the idols.
Cute.
So we get, I mean, we get to Rock's. Oh, go ahead.
It just really feels like literally everybody wants to be on Mike's side.
I mean, as do I.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, actually, at Easter today, this has never happened before, but I went to my aunt and uncle's house for Easter, and my dad doesn't always watch Survivor with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my cousins, like, don't always watch it. Like, my uncle doesn't always watch it. So every single person that was at Easter today is watching.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, like, and honestly, Jonathan was, like, the crowd favorite. My one cousin likes Marianne. But, mm-hmm. and I was, like, I kind of, like, don't hate Tori. And my aunt was, like, yeah, I like her. My one cousin was, like, oh, I hate her. But yeah, so it was just, like, very interesting because it was, like, my mom and dad, my aunt and uncle, my two cousins, me, and then my other uncle. And, like, all of us had been watching this season.
I love that.
Yeah. That's so cute. I wish we would have talked about it more. But yeah, Jonathan definitely was, like, the overwhelming, like, favorite. But – and I even engaged in it, though, because, like, I felt my aunt was, like, he's so nice. And I was, like, you know what? Like, he actually does seem like a good dude. And that's what I said. I was, like – just when someone is brawny and they win all of the challenges and stuff and everyone idolizes them, I don't like that. But Jonathan seems like a nice person. So I accept the idol worship a little more.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Idol. let's see. Okay. So we go to Roxroy at Exile. So he notices the hourglass and he has like a pot and some rice and a machete. And he goes on to tell us, I guess he potentially could like lose his vision pretty soon. So he's really like taking in the scene.
I totally missed that, but I guess it makes sense why he was wearing those like really thick goggles.
Yes. Yeah. Those are like his glasses. So I guess like he has like something going on that he could lose his vision completely. Like, I don't know, just like funny. Cause like the way he was talking and he almost even said something like this after, but I texted you and Brian, like, I was like, I could literally see him saying this experience is worth more than $1 million. Like he seems to like really be coming into his own, enjoying like making his own little shelter.
He's a very old school Survivor player.
Yes. And like, he's just like enjoying the beauty of Fiji, which like, honestly, imagine though, if you knew that you could lose your eyesight and you're seeing those gorgeous views and stuff, like how special that would be for you. Aww. I feel like he was getting emotional and stuff. And I was like, good for you. Good for you. Like yeah. Happy for him. So yeah, he's there and like, he's not really sure what's going on with the hourglass, but you know, we will see. So then we all come together after the Applebee's merge feast, if you will, and Lindsay, Drea, and Hi link up to talk about the amulet. And so the amulet is, I believe, if three of them are left in the game, it's an extra vote if they're used together. If two of them are there, it's a steal a vote. And then if only one is left, it is a full idol.
Right.
So I guess they kind of agree that they're going to protect each other. I don't believe that that's actually like what's going to go down. But I think for this first vote, especially when, okay, at this moment, is Lindsay immune since she goes to Applebee's with them? Goes to Applebee's.
yeah, I guess. I don't know.
So, like, at this moment, like, Drea is the only one, like, vulnerable.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like for this first vote, like, why not? I feel like it's too early to throw that into the mix. So I feel like it makes sense for them to be like, let's work together. And just, there's so much going on. Why even bother gunning for each other at that moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's talking, you know, Marianne, we see her talking to Romeo and Tori. And then there's a moment on the beach where John and Mike bond about being perceived as blockheads.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like kind of sweet. John's like, yeah, like everyone always thinks I'm going to be a jerk. And Mike says it hurts being stigmatized as the big dummy.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know, like it's like a nice, I'm glad everyone's getting along seemingly. Like, I don't know, it's nice.
Yeah.
And then Jonathan's like being his, you know, superhero self catching crabs and an octopus and everyone's noticing. And then High at this point says, you know, everyone wants to target the physical threats, but I want to keep him in the game. You know, he would be a good shield for me. Like, it's not the time for that. I feel like High's getting a very potential winner's edit.
Oh, absolutely.
They definitely, like, show High thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, good sound bites from him.
Yeah, he's, sure, like, the strategic player, if you will. Yeah,
definitely. Oh, and then, so, like, this is a nice moment. So, High is, like, with the whole group, and he's talking, like, about, you know, him and his partner, like, meeting on Tinder and stuff. And then Romeo is kind of like, wow, like, this guy's, like, out there and, like, confident and stuff. And, like, Romeo and High, like, then have a moment where Romeo kind of talks about how he, you know, doesn't always feel like he's his full self because he's trying to fit in and stuff. And, like, he's part of the LGBTQ community, too. But he isn't always, like, putting all out there like High is. And, like, he really respects that. And, like, not all of his family, like, knows. And after this airs, they definitely will. So that was, like, a beautiful moment.
That was surprising for me, and I felt a little bit, I had kind of a moment of checking my personal blind spots, because, like, when High is, like, sharing his story, you kind of see Romeo, like, looking at him in, like, a bit of a way, and I didn't really know where they were going with that edit, and then for him to say, like, I'm not necessarily as comfortable, you know, being out, I was like, really? Because you're, like, a beauty pageant coach. And, like, that's my bad for, like, assuming that, because, first of all, like, no, somebody's profession doesn't indicate anything. But for assuming that, you know, because that's his job, that he would be comfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how.
I mean, I had the same thought.
Yeah. I don't know how to put into words why it's wrong, but I know that it is. And I thought that that was a really beautiful, genuine moment. Like you said, it was kind of, you have these themes of, like, Jonathan and Mike connecting over a similarity. You have High and Romeo connecting over a similarity. And you have these people who are bonding based on life experiences. But then you also have people who are bonding over, like, oh, you have this advantage, I have this advantage. And You're kind of seeing, like, how both come into play. And one might not necessarily be more important than the other, or one might be.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, good point. Very good point.
My one contribution this episode.
No, oh my god, that was smart. So then we have High. He's talking to Romeo and Omar, and he brings up Chanel, and he's kind of like, "Oh yeah, Chanel. Like, Lydia and I were on the bottom. Like, she can't be trusted." And Omar's kind of surprised, and he's like, "Oh yeah, like, on our journey and stuff. Like, I thought she was pretty trustworthy." And then High is like, "Well, she lost her vote. That's why Lydia's still here." And Omar's like, in that moment, which I didn't even realize, that is in that moment, Omar finding out he doesn't have a vote.
Yes,
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. Because he never had to go to tribal again.
Yeah.
So Brian, like, when we were texting during the episode, I was like, "Oh, you know what? I kind of thought the slate was washed clean at the merge." So, like, I didn't even realize Omar wasn't going to have a vote. And then the fact that, like, this is him finding out, because then there's another clip of him talking to Chanel, and Chanel doesn't even say to him, like, "Hey, FYI, I risked my vote. You don't have one." So then in his mind, he's like, "Oh man, yeah, she is shady."
Yeah. Which, like, I don't know. If you're Chanel, do you volunteer that? I don't know.
I feel like maybe if you bonded and, like, you said you were going to maybe work together. I don't know, like, I would have liked to see, like, what Chanel was actually doing this episode, like, with other people to bond, because mm-hmm. I did not see the hustle there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, like, lots of things went on that we were not privy to.
Right.
So then we go to another nice scene where Omar is, like, talking to Mike, and he's like, "Oh yeah, like, you know, my 6th anniversary is coming up. You know, I didn't really date anyone until I was 24, 25. We were friends and we're saving ourselves for marriage." And so Mike's like, oh, so you're a virgin?" And he's like, "Yeah." And Mike just, like, so gentle. He's like, "Good for you, man.
Good." Yeah. Yeah. I loved that for some reason, the way you said it too. Cause it's like, you could tell he's just like, holy shit. But he's just like, good for you, man. Like, yeah. it was just very nice. Like, I wish that when people told me something like that, that was my response. That I could, because it sounds so, Mike is so genuine. He is so genuine. And when he says things, they sound genuine. When I say something, I sound like a doofus. Like, if I was just like, good for you, man. Like, I would sound, people would be like, oh man, what does that
awesome.
Mean?
That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, why can't I be like Mike? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the way it was super genuine, because if someone told me that, especially like, say it was like another girl saying that to me, they were like, oh yeah, well, I'm doing this. Like, I would say like, oh, like good for you or something. But like, also it wouldn't necessarily mean that I regret my decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, the way you said it was just like, so like without judgment, like just like genuine, like good for you. Like, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
He just has a way.
He has a way.
And I like his interactions with people. Like, I just like, everyone just seems very like open and like accepting of each other and their differences and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's very
who
nice.
Who knows what's going on internally, but like everyone seems to be pretty cool. So that's good. Let's see. So then we go, Marianne and Lydia are talking and they're kind of bonding over being the youngins. And Marianne's like, yeah, with the old grandma names.
Yeah, that's cute. And at that point, Lydia also points out, like, she was like, oh, I had Marianne. Like, I had no idea that you were actually like a strategic thinker. Like, I thought you were just like this bubbly, upbeat person. And Marianne was like, no, like, I'm thinking. And like, I believe that she is. I worry she's going to get herself into trouble.
Yeah, I get that. At this point, too, like, Hi and Jonathan are talking, and they're kind of like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I like you. And they talk about kind of who they're working with. So Jonathan's like, oh, yeah, like, I have Omar, and Hi's like, I have Mike. And then they're talking about Lindsay and Lydia. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I like Drea, too. So this is kind of where this like potential alliance comes to be. And then this is where we get a very good like Hi winner edit type of thing, where Hi very seriously in the camera is like, this is where I need to establish agency. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I'm like, yes, sir. So yeah, they end up like talking on the beach. And then I think at this point it's Jonathan, Lydia, Hi, and Drea, they're talking. So there's like two representatives from Old Vati, one from Taku, one from Ika, and they're talking, and they kind of mention this eight, because Hi and Lydia are like, oh yeah, Mike's great. And then Jonathan's like, yeah, Omar and Lindsay are great. And then Drea's like, oh yeah, I'm here, and Rox is awesome too, which like, is he? I don't know. But so that's eight right there. And they kind of say, you know, Drea's like, oh yeah, Tori can't be trusted. Hi is like, Chanel can't be trusted. And then Jonathan, like, and he says to us, I throw out Marianne's name because, like, I don't want them to think we're all just one big happy family. And, like, if anyone was going to go next, it would have been Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how we have our, like, three, like, kind of outcasts on the tribe. But yeah, there's like an eight that's being formed.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Tori and Marianne are safe at this moment. So I feel like Jonathan is like, oh man, sucks to be Chanel right now, because mm-hmm. her name's the one on the block. And then mm-hmm. Chanel comes up and it's like super awkward and they all kind of like disband.
Yes. And like, oh, another- and it was...
There's another moment like that later, but like, they all kind of just like scatter away, and it's like, oh man, that was not cool.
Yeah, it was not super subtle.
Yeah, and then like Chanel is talking to Lydia after, because like they were on the same tribe before, and like Lydia to us is like, yeah, I was trying to play dumb, and Chanel's like, I do not buy what she's saying. Lydia was like, yeah, we were just talking about Roxroy, like what was going on? So like, I understand why Chanel's suspicious. It makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So then at that point, Omar does tell Drea, Hi, and Jonathan, oh, yeah, confirmed, I have no vote because of the summit. And then at that point, Drea feels comfortable enough with them because they're all in this eight telling them about her extra vote. So I'm like, okay, wow, she really is committed, like telling about one of her advantages, you know?
Yeah, and she said she's kind of trying to do it to build trust.
Yeah, and then Chanel approaches again, and it's still awkward, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, so now we're going to do a little aside back to Exile, where Jeff rolls up with Rox Roy, and he explains, like, the situation to him, what he's going to do. And Rox is like, oh, man, like, I don't know, like, the, you know, these five that lost, not everyone gets a trophy. I'm like, Rox, you're not a boomer. Come on.
Yeah.
But not everyone gets a trophy. But I don't know. I definitely was like, in that moment, like, I feel like I was like texting you and Brian. And I was like, if anyone was not going to reverse time just for fairness, it would be Rox Roy. Like, I could totally see him being like, I'm not going to do this. You know, you guys lost fair and square. I'm an honorable guy. Even if it means I have to compete, I have to, you know, like I could, I actually like almost expected him to go that way.
I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah. And then he considers, he's like, but then there's the Tory factor. She's safe right now. But if I reverse history, she is not safe. And I, not his, these are my words, not his. Can't stand that bitch. and I'm saying he like clearly cannot stand her.
Yeah.
I actually am like, oh, like she's okay. But so they go back, and then Jeff explains to everyone, they're there at the immunity challenge, what Rox Roy's power was. And then Rox says, sometimes everyone deserves a do-over. So I changed history. And he was like, you know, they didn't get to eat. And then, you know, they did. So they're all energized. So, you know, go out there and do it. And I'm like, I just like, if it was me, like, I feel like I would be like, why? If any of you were in the same situation, you would have been immune to.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
I thought the eating argument was fair.
It's fair, but I just feel like, wouldn't anyone in that situation do it? Like, as long as their alliance wasn't, like, going to, like, say every single person on their alliance was now going to be, like, in trouble. But, like, anyone, he doesn't like Tori. And then Drea and Romeo, who he had been, like, in cahoots with, now are going to be safe if he does it. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I see it.
I don't know. I just, like, I would probably be like, you know, this is what I'm doing. I would hope all of you would do the same.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. Short and simple.
Yeah.
And then we're treated to a real hissy fit from Tori, who honestly, like, for all of the redeeming things you've said about her, this is probably the worst look she's had this season.
Yeah.
Where she was like, Rox Roy, we gave you a gift. We gave you a gift. And literally, like, everybody is just like, ugh. Yeah, I feel like
Mike, someone is like, she's burying herself.
Yeah. It was just.
She's like, you know, being with Rox Roy, like, I know him. And, like, I know he would have liked power over foods. Like, but I feel like Jeff was like, oh, so you were saying it's a gift? She was like, well, like, partly.
Yeah, and this is him using the gift that you got him.
Yeah.
Ugh, joke's on all of us, though.
So, and then Jeff does drop the bomb that one of them won't even make the jury.
That's hard. That is hard, I will say.
So we're going to get into the immunity. So since Rox Roy changed history, the ones competing are going to be Jonathan, Lydia, Marianne, Tori, Hi, and Lindsay. So we don't need to go into it, but it's like this standard challenge where it's like you start out on one platform and you have blocks that spell immunity. There's like a topsy-turvy, you know, platform on the other side, and you have the rope in your hand, and you need to walk out, put one block down, go back, like the Y, the bottom of immunity, and like spell it in a stack of blocks. And like for a while, like Jonathan's like really kind of killing it. Tori was always pretty consistent and strong, and like Marianne like kind of drops out at the beginning, but she ends up like towards the end being like one of the ones with the highest amount. Lindsay's pretty close at the end. She drops out, but Tori ultimately prevails and she wins immunity, which is a very sick snake immunity necklace.
Oh my God. Well, like, there was also, I forget when it happened, but there was also like a really funny moment when Jeff showed the immunity necklace for the first time and he was like obsessed with it. He was just like, check this out. Like, I don't remember what he said, but he was like overly into the necklace, which was like at best mediocre.
Well, I feel like Brian texted us, oh, my dad is like, that's the coolest immunity necklace. And I was like, your dad. I was like, your dad. And I agree. Like,
oh my God.
Look at that sick snake.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I thought it looked pretty cool.
All right. All right.
Like, cool. I mean, like, okay. Cool and like almost like too produced and cool. Like, the typical, like, oh, look at that sick cobra or great white shark or like scorpion, like that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, oh, look at that sick snake. I don't know. It's pretty badass.
All right, like, all right. Like, I know what I'm.
In a cliche, like, what you're gonna get me for Christmas?
Yeah.
A snake necklace?
A sick snake necklace.
Fucking sick. Okay.
All right.
So we go back to camp, and oh, this is funny because I feel like they're like making fire at that point, and like right when we get back, Marianne is like, oh, I hear you're the fire guy to Roxroy, because I feel like Tori was like, oh yeah, he all he cares about is the fire. But remember when he went to exile, like he was struggling to make fire. It kind of just made me laugh, like, oh, you're the fire guy.
I felt the same.
Yeah, so I feel like Jonathan and Roxroy go and fish, and Jonathan tells him, like, oh yeah, Drea kind of, like, put you in this alliance. There's a lot of shit that goes down in this after immunity challenge, pre-tribal scramble. I feel like Romeo and Tori have a conversation where they're kind of like, oh, we need to get rid of Jonathan. And Romeo's like, Mike's so up his ass, and then it, like, goes to an aside of, like, Mike being like, oh yeah, Jonathan, blah blah blah.
Yeah,
I can't remember exactly what he said, but it is funny. Then there's like Romeo, Hi, and Marianne are talking. Then like this is like kind of an interesting conversation. So like Lydia talks to Lindsay and Chanel and is like, oh, like Jonathan maybe, and Lindsay brings up, oh, he's really bad at puzzles, you know, but I'm open, you know, he does catch a lot of food, so maybe we could keep him around. Marianne's really strategic. And then I think they ask, like, oh, well, does she have any advantages? And Lindsay's like, mm-hmm. So we don't see her saying what those advantages are, but she does at least imply, if not explicitly say, Marianne has something.
My favorite part of this scramble, and I know you're going to get there, was at one point Omar is like, I'm not on the chopping block and I don't have a vote, so I just need to not say anything. And like the next minute, Omar is like,
but then he proceeds to say everything.
Everything.
That would be us. That would be us. Be like, yeah, you know, I should sit this one out. I'm safe. Like, my opinion doesn't matter right now. I don't need to, you know.
Okay, but look, but guys.
But like, no, and there was like kind of like a sweet moment. Oh, like, well, after that conversation though, Chanel does say something to Lydia, like, you know, because they were on the same tribe, so like they are like, you know, quote unquote allies, that, you know, what Lindsay said didn't sway her at all, like, you know, about Jonathan the golden boy, and she's like, he's not golden to me.
But that's good.
Yeah, at this point, this is when Omar, yeah, to everyone, not to everyone, but to a very large group, is like, listen, I'm safe, I have no vote, which he would not have shared. He doesn't have a vote with everybody if he was on the chopping block, but he's not. So it's just one tribal, he doesn't have a vote. So he's like, I don't have a vote. You guys, you know, kind of can do whatever. But then there's a nice, like, moment where Jonathan's like, Omar, like, this is the time I need your help. And Omar's like, I got this.
I got you. Yeah, yeah. It really is like a a brothers coming together.
Yeah, no, it was sweet. So like, yeah, so Omar talks to Lydia and Lydia's kind of like, you know, I'm okay with Jonathan. And Omar's like, yeah, but like Marianne, like, I don't know. So then he takes, in this moment, he's like, it has to be Lydia. Cause you know, the way I can flip it is she was so quick to turn on our eight right away and say Jonathan. So she talks to everyone. He goes to Marianne, is like, there's rumors you have an idol. You need to write down Lydia. And Marianne, it's actually, there's like a little aside with Marianne and she has like tears and sad.
Yeah.
Then he says to Drea, Lydia's already leaning towards Jonathan, basically, like already going after the eight at this point. Like, let's just write her. And he then does talk to Mike and High and is like, listen, if Marianne plays her idol, it's going to be one of the eight. Why don't we just write Lydia? And High, you know, to us is like, that's not happening. And then he's like, I'm going to scramble and try to get everyone to vote Marianne. But, you know, we'll see what goes down at Tribal.
Yeah, it was honestly like a smart, it wasn't a full out lie, but Lydia didn't do anything wrong, like in my opinion. It was just a strategic move on Omar's part.
Definitely. So yeah, we get to Tribal and, you know, I feel like someone's like, yeah, a good looking group, right, Jeff? And then I think Jonathan's like, we love you, Mr. Jeff.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. They have like a lot of conversations about confidence, like, you know, High's kind of like, you know, are you the driver? Are you the passenger? You know, I've been trying to have confidence. Lydia talks about, you know, she used to kind of like fake confidence and then like moving away from her hometown, she's actually gained some. And Omar says something like, you know, my older self now that I'm 30. And Jeff's like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Jeff's like, I may be 50, but I look damn good. He didn't say that. That's just me saying it. But, you know, just things about confidence. And then, yeah, Marianne kind of talks about how everyone's working on stuff and she doesn't really care about openly working on stuff. Like, everyone has things that they can fix about themselves. But are they putting it out there? And, like, she is. And then this is where her and Drea kind of disagree because she says, who do I want to work with in the long term?
I can't explain why this just made me so uncomfortable, but, like, they basically, like, they disagree. I don't know. It's just, like, it was both two very vague statements, and, like, Marianne is very much trying to just, like, agree with everybody. I can't explain it.
Like, you know, like, Marianne was kind of like, oh, it's like, yeah, who do I want to play with long term? And Drea was kind of like, I don't agree. And then said whatever she had to say. And then Marianne was like, well, you do agree with me then. And Dre's like, no. Yeah, it was kind of just like awkward vibes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, like, I don't know what is about to happen. But we're going to get into the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Omar does not have a vote. So I don't have the order, but I know there is a vote. Say there's a vote for Marianne, a vote for Lindsay, a vote for Jonathan, a vote for Marianne, a vote for Jonathan. But then it's like Lydia, 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 the whatever person to be voted out, Lydia. So I feel like in this moment when we were watching, Brian was like, I don't understand how this vote was shaken up. And I was like, I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get it. And so, like, I wrote down, like, that night I watched and I wrote this down and it makes sense to me. So I'm going to explain what my theory is and you can tell me if you agree or disagree. Okay. So we have Romeo and Lydia voting for Marianne. We have Chanel and Tori voting for Jonathan. We have Roxroy voting for Lindsay. Then we have Marianne, Lindsay, Jonathan, High, Mike and Drea voting for Lydia. Omar did not have a vote, but I'm sure he would have been there as well. So I think basically what happened is they just kind of low key shifted the eighth member of the eight from being Lydia to being Marianne, knowing Marianne had an advantage and Omar wanted to facilitate that. I feel like he was just like, Lydia can't be trusted, so they kind of just looped in Marianne to, he looped in Marianne to placate her. Mm-hmm. I think Tori and Chanel, no one was really talking to them because, you know, Tori had immunity. If she didn't, it would have been her. If the other six were going to go to tribal, it would have been Chanel. So I feel like no one's really telling them the plan. And same thing with Romeo. Like, Romeo, like, isn't necessarily on the chopping block at all, but he's not really involved with anyone. So I think that Omar probably, to Lydia and Romeo, was like, Marianne, Marianne. So those two did that. Chanel and Tori, maybe no one was talking to them, and they were like, had heard Jonathan at one point, and they want him out. They do Jonathan. Roxroy never seems to know what the fuck is going on, and he's always the odd man out. So he votes Lindsay for some reason. I don't know what his reasoning is, but that's what he did.
Were you surprised, though, that High wrote Lydia?
Yes.
I think he probably figured, like, she's going down anyway. Here's my chance to look, to be solid with the group.
Yeah,
you know what I agree. Mean? There's times to take a principled stand, like when he was willing to go to rocks for her. But I don't think this was one of those times.
If he knew there was nothing he could do, and, like, also, like, the two of them, like, and also, too, like, he doesn't, it's not like he wants Mike to give his idol to her either at that point, this far out in the game. Like, he already has, like, a good group going. Like, it's not really worth saving Lydia for his game at that point. Like, I get it. And, like, also, for all he knows, like, she's not going to know he's one of the ones, like, the rogue Lindsay vote could have been him, you know? Or, like, right. He could have been the other Marianne vote, you know?
And she's not going to be on the jury.
Yeah.
So,
it's another one too. I think that definitely would show his loyalty maybe to the others. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, listen. Lydia's my
I was surprised because I feel like we did see some of those preliminary conversations where he said to people, like, I went to rocks for Lydia once, like, I'll do it again. Like, I'm not voting writing her name, but I'm sure we'll talk about it this week.
I'm sure he'll definitely give us some tidbits. But
that was a really efficient recap for a 2-hour episode.
Thanks. I did my best. I tried to, you know, I feel like my immunity challenge one was, I'm like, you know, the one with the blocks, Corey wins.
Yeah. Well, we can get into some Survivor scuttlebutt because we did have some submissions. Just the one I'm thinking of was Brian had mentioned this, and I did then see it, like, on Reddit, but I guess Ozzy came out as bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have, like, any more or any less to share about that. Good for him. Love your truth.
Something that I went down a rabbit hole, though.
Okay.
I just Googled that to be like, oh, like, what did he say exactly? Which I actually don't even know if I got to the meat of it, what he actually said. No pun intended. The meat of it. But I got distracted by another article that, like, Ozzy, I guess, implied that he was written out of a season of Survivor. Like, that he played 5 times, not 4.
What?
Yeah, like, he implied at one point, like, I don't know, a year or so ago, that he played 5 times, not 4. And, like, I feel like the collective internet is like, he's full of shit. Like, he was just fucking with us. Like, what, the last one he was on was Game Changer. So the only one that he could have been on afterwards would have been Edge of Extinction. That's the only next one that had returning players. And, like, he's full of shit, and, like, what could he have done that was so bad that they would have, like, written him out? You know what I mean? But I was like, oh, interesting. But
interesting.
Yeah. So I don't think it's true. But, oh, another scuttlebutt, which I sent to you, which I, like, didn't, like, I knew this was possible, but, like, I didn't know it was something that was, like, actively pursued. But, like, Jacqueline, Mish, and, you know, John Mish, they have their surrogate again, who is, I feel like, pretty far along, like, with their baby. And I guess, like, I knew it was possible for people, like, you know, that were not, that have not given birth or, like, were not pregnant to lactate and stuff. But I guess, you know, Jacqueline, like, you know, as the baby's mom is, like, taking medicine to make her lactate and stuff.
Yeah.
That's for the baby. Like, I, like in theory, like, I knew that it was, like, a possible thing. But I feel like I've never seen someone so, like, explicitly talk about it, like, the process or anything on social media or, like, educate people about it. And so I'm like, I'm just, you know, it's her transparency is really nice.
Yeah, and that's just, it's so much work that it's just, I think, such a beautiful thing that, like, she wants to go to, I don't want to say, like, that depth, because that's, I, as somebody who struggled with breastfeeding, like, I in no way equate that to, like, you know, I don't think that's better or worse. I don't know what I'm trying. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Like, I don't think it's, like, any indication of, you know, how you are as a mother. But I do think her, I don't know. I think the vulnerability very, and the sharing it. Yeah. Like, I loved it. I'm so happy for them.
And but it also could be very, like, because I wouldn't have even, like, okay, say I was going to, like, adopt a baby or something or have a surrogate. I don't even think it would ever cross my mind, oh, I could lactate and feed the baby, especially because right. the effort it does take. So the fact that, like, she is doing that is really cool. But, like, yeah, we all agree fed is best. I actually appreciate, like, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram at all, but, you know, Ashley I from The Bachelor and stuff, like, you know, she just had a baby. And I actually really appreciate how upfront she was in the beginning that she was just like, I am not breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. I had a terrible pregnancy. I was so sick. I was so miserable. In order to be the best mom to my son, I need my body back.
I didn't know that. Good for her.
Yeah. Then she was very, like, she never for a second was like, oh, yeah, like, we're trying breastfeeding. He's not latching. Like, she was just, like, straight up, I'm not doing this. So,
yeah,
she doesn't even need to give the, after these 9 months, like, I'm, you know, my body needs to be mine again. Like, she doesn't owe anyone that. But, like, that, you know, that it makes sense to me. But I don't know. Just, I appreciate, like, a very public figure with, like, a million Instagram followers being like, you don't need to breastfeed your baby.
Absolutely. Those were the only items that I had. So,
yeah, I don't think I have anything else.
Okay. Well, without further ado, why did I say it again? Like, literally, as it was coming out of my head, I was like, don't say it, don't say it. And that might have been something we talked about in the last episode, how I can't stop saying without further ado.
Hey, I can't stop saying I will say.
I will say. Yeah, but that's fun. I like that now. And I say it all the time, like, in my life, like, at work. Like, really? It's just the perfect preface for, like, when you need to gather your thoughts, kind of. And it makes an impact without being too showy. I don't know what it is.
I will say.
It is time to get into luxury items. This is where we talk about things outside of Survivor that we're enjoying as a little nod to old school Survivor. As I said, I was down for the count, did not have a lot of time to take in new stuff, but I did watch The Ultimatum, which is a new garbage show from Netflix.
I watched the shit out of it.
Oh my God, I will say, Ashley, like, I really enjoyed Love is Blind, but, like, this was something that I came away from being, like, I kind of wish I had those hours back. Like, it was, like, I couldn't stop watching. I wanted to know.
You know what, though? If the outcome was, okay, you were, okay, I bet, were you at the end of episode 8, the first 8 that were released, like, oh, my God. I need to know.
Yeah.
And then after the finale and the reunion, you were like, I need those hours of my life back. Because I felt the same way. Because I was so hype on it. Like, you need to watch The Ultimatum. It's so great. And then when I watched the last 2 episodes, I was like, all right, what was that for?
Yeah. Well, and I was also, like, just pretty surprised because I don't know where I got the sense that there was, like, some huge surprise in the finale or the reunion, like, where I was expecting to be, have it be more of a roller coaster, but it, that's just like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't know.
It was like pretty anticlimactic. And like the only thing that happened is like, I mean, I guess like, I don't know if we want to get like, I don't know. Just do we want to give a spoiler? Like
spoiler alert.
Okay. The one couple that like should not be together, it seems at all, like ended up getting married in the last episode. And then surprise on the reunion, she's pregnant. And it's like, why did you guys even go on this show? I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. Everybody was at least a little bit unlikable, which like, yeah. But well, yeah.
I was disappointed about Ray and Jake.
Yeah.
Too. Like, I know. I thought that like one of the couples. Oh, wait. I mean, okay. The premise of the show is there are only four. There were six couples total, I think. But only four ended up going into the experiment, I think. But there were like six couples, and one of them posed an ultimatum that they need to get engaged. So then they all, in the beginning, they all kind of like hang out and stuff, and then they all get to decide who they're going to spend 3 weeks with, like living as a married couple with. So two of the couples actually like got engaged on the spot when the decision was happening, which was like kind of awkward. But then the other four couples kind of needed to say, oh, I want to live with this person, and the person could accept or not, whatever. And then, yeah, then they go back with their original partner to live for 3 weeks. And then they make a decision like whether they're going to like break up or stay together or be with the other person or whatnot. So we had like an engagement, we had a marriage. We had
like the marriage couple. It was just so funny how, and again, total spoilers, but like Madeline, she just kept being like, Randall is so hot. Randall is so hot. And then she like gets back together with like her ex that she like truly seemed to be completely indifferent about. Yeah. I was shocked, but I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about it other than like, yeah, I was, and I think it was just a lot of filler where like, I think the difference between that and Love is Blind is the couples have never met before. So there's a lot of like there's a lot of new conversation, a lot of new steps of process. When the original couples got back together, I was honestly fast forwarding a ton of it because I was like, I've heard this conversation. I don't need to hear it again, you know. But it was like kind of the perfect sick show.
The one thing about it where I don't understand how it would work necessarily, and like that's what I didn't understand, like when I heard about the show and the premise at first. What are the odds that four couples are going to take that, like, you know, one of each is giving an ultimatum, are going to take time away from each other, are going to be compatible with someone else's partner? Like, it's like a mixed bag of people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, it's like, oh yeah, like I talked to you for a couple days, like casually at a cocktail party, and I'm picking you to live with. But like, there's a lot more to know about someone. Whereas Love is Blind, like, I feel like, you don't have to get engaged. Like, you don't have to pick someone. It can just be like you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what are the odds that like people are really going to hit it off? And like, we got no one. Like, we got one like kind of hitting it off, but like nothing came of it.
Right. Yeah. I also, like, at one point I had tried putting on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and it was just too, like, the yelling, because I also like had just like a headache, so I was like, I can't do this, I need something soothing. And I put on Downton Abbey, which I've seen many a time, but it just hit the right spot. So I also watched that, and that's basically what I've been doing.
Yeah, I finally, it's so funny because like I'll be so excited about something, and then I'm like, if it's like something that comes out weekly, I won't watch it. So like Top Chef premiered like early March. I never watched it, but six episodes had accumulated. So the other day I finally watched all six episodes that were out. So I'm heavily invested in this season of Top Chef. I got to text Brian about it, which was nice.
Nice.
And catch up with my mom.
Cute.
My mom and I have the same favorite. So Love Top Chef. I'm always going to encourage people to watch Top Chef.
I'll watch it someday.
So good.
That's all I got. Did you have any stray thoughts or anything like that?
Not really. I have to go to Arizona on Friday. And then, like, I don't have to go on Friday. I could go on Monday, but I'm going early to, like, hang out with my work friend.
Oh my God, you and Joanne are going to get to meet?
Yes, I know. That's cute. Beautiful. Yeah, so I have to go on a work trip. So I've been, like, completely remote. So it starts Monday, the, what, 25th, is that? It's, like, our first.
That's right.
Yeah, so Monday the 25th is, like, the first day of it. So it's, like, a cocktail reception that night. But I'm flying in Friday night, and I think Joanne's flying in Saturday morning. So we're going to, like, hang out, like, before the actual work stuff starts, but it's going to be like a very intense couple days of like meetings and dinners, and we have to go golfing, and I like still don't know what I'm going to wear. It's not even intense golf. It's okay. It's called scramble. So I guess that is where you're on teams and you all hit the ball like at each hole, and then you pick whoever got the best shot, and then you all take turns hitting that one ball to the hole. And it's like supposed to be fun and relaxed, but I'm having crippling anxiety about it. But yeah, so I don't know, it's gonna be a busy week, like getting ready for that, packing, like finding clothes, making sure I don't forget anything. Yeah, I don't know, that's what's on my mind right now.
Oh, so you're gonna miss this week is this weekend Shad Fest, right?
I probably wouldn't have gone anyway.
Okay. No, I mean, same. I am probably going to try and go to the book sale though.
Oh yeah. The book sale.
I don't know why. Like, I don't need any books, but I just,
it's still fun to look for treasures. Yeah. What we're talking about is our tiny little town has like one festival a year, and it's the Shad Fest. The shad is a fish that lives in the river. Apparently it tastes like shit. So like, I don't, and also the shad don't even go in the river at this point of the year anymore, but like, you know, probably let's just blame pollution and global warming. But like at one point, I guess this was the time the shad would like spawn in the river or something. And there was a festival to celebrate it. So basically like it's more like a little arts festival kind of like, and food, like, the, you know, there's a beer garden and stuff, but it's like, everyone you know from town is there. And like, I used to look forward to it, and now I'm just like, I don't feel like going.
Yeah.
So it's actually better though. Like if I was home and people were like, hey, are you going to Shad Fest? I'd be like, I don't really feel like going, but like if everyone else is going, I should go. But I'll be like, sorry, I'm in Arizona. I can't make it.
No, I know what you mean. That'll be great.
Yeah. And then the book sale is our local county library has a book sale at the fairgrounds.
It's huge.
Year. Huge. Like imagine like, I mean, I don't know if all of you can imagine it because maybe some of you live in cities, but imagine like where you would go to like a 4-H fair or like a fair where they would keep livestock a lot of the time. And it's like tables and tables of books for like $1 or 50 cents.
Every year I go with like some contingent of my family, like usually it's like my dad and Matt. And every year I say I'm going to go alone because I feel rushed.
Yeah.
But then I never do. They have, you know, how, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but if you are a big spender, you get your own little table outside to leave your stuff on, to leave your books on while you go back for more books. And I usually get that table. We'll see. I'm excited to like look for kids books.
Yeah, no, that'll be nice. I actually have not been in, I mean, well, it was canceled because of COVID. So this will be the first one in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And I think I went the year before or maybe the year before that, but like I didn't always go to this one necessarily. So I did go alone, but I feel like I had something the last time I went, I definitely like had something going on that day. I don't even know if it was Shad Fest, but I had something going on and it was like, I feel like I had a nail appointment or something. And I was like, I'm going to swing by. And I was like, I have half an hour to do some damage. And I did definitely do some damage, but
yeah,
Yeah, no, it's like a glorious book, like all like books that people donate to the library. But it's like, imagine like a giant ass like barn filled with them.
Yeah, they have pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
that's exciting.
Yeah, I'll let you know what my haul is next couple weeks from now. Well, if we don't talk to you, Ashley, have a great trip. And thanks for bearing with us, everybody. Really appreciate your patience as I came back from the flu.
I'm glad you're on the mend.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.